Hello and welcome. This is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to keep going on this series about slavery in the Bible. What does the Bible say about slavery? Okay, so let's move on here and let's look at foreigner slaves. And we're not talking about the classic rock band. We're talking about foreigners who are made slaves in Israel. Because check this out. A foreigner slave can be made a slave for life. All right. Now, how does that work? Well, we'll look into that. Because, you know, some of you are thinking, well, that's not right. That sounds cruel. Well, let's just look at this subject and see what we can find. According to some scriptures in the Old Testament, the laws that regarded the Hebrew slaves, you know, those who were of the brethren, you know, of the people, were to be treated well. Well, those same laws applied to foreigner slaves. So check this out. Leviticus 24, verse 22. Ye shall have one manner of law as well for the stranger as for one of your own country. I am the Lord your God. Interesting. So, one manner of law for the stranger as well as one of your own country. Numbers chapter 15, verse 15 and 16. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As ye are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. Okay, and the Bible says, again, concerning foreigner slaves, L and everybody, that you can't mistreat your slaves, even if they're strangers, they're foreigners in your land. Exodus chapter 23, verse 9. Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger. For ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. All right. So, first of all, you don't oppress your foreigner slave, and you treat them as one of your fellow countrymen. Huh. All right, so this isn't looking so bad after all. But we still have this problem of for life. That seems to be an issue, isn't it? I mean, doesn't that bother you guys a little bit? Well, let's move on. Check this verse out, or these verses. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. If a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. Okay. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So, there's a couple of things in that verse. First of all, you're not to vex the stranger, the sojourner, the foreigner in your land, okay? Number two, they shall be unto you as one born among you. All right, I'm going to come back to that, but that's an interesting point. And lastly, love him as thyself. Okay, so that's pretty heavy duty. I mean, again, we're basically, what we're seeing here is a list of scriptures that put the foreigner slave in the shoes of the slave who is just a Hebrew slave, right? And we've already seen previously, we've already looked at all the scriptures concerning Hebrew slaves and how they were to be treated. And again, in case you guys didn't hear all the older podcasts in this series, they were treated very well. Okay, they were given at least one day off a week. They were not to be beaten. They were not to be mistreated. They were supposed to be loved. They were supposed to be educated. They were supposed to be brought up in the one true faith, Okay. Yeah, they didn't know Jesus yet, but they were being brought up in the true faith. All right, so we're seeing that these foreigner slaves are supposed to be treated like this. Now check that. Going back to verse 34 of chapter 19, Leviticus, the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. Now, why did I go back to that? Well, I have yet to find an instance where a foreigner slave was sold to the Hebrews in a debt situation and that they were treated in such a way where they were kept as a slave for life. I don't think that happened. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that all I see here is, as far as foreigner slaves being kept for life, the only instances I see that being done, and most definitely being done, is slaves of war. But really quick, I want to make the point, again, foundational principle here. You cannot, as a Hebrew, kidnap a foreigner slave, a foreigner, just somebody from another nation, okay? You cannot kidnap them and make them a slave. That was punishable by death. Okay, we've already talked about this, but let's go back to foundational principles here. This is not the kind of slavery junk that you see around the world today and also in America's history. Okay? This is not Americans going to other countries and kidnapping slaves, putting them on ships in horrible conditions, bringing them back here, and whoever survived, selling them off. Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. Not at all. Okay? Now, what about these slaves of war? All right? I mean, doesn't that sound cruel? Keeping a slave of war for life. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? All right, why would God allow this and even prescribe these slaves for life in war situations? Well, first of all, I'd like to say this. These people lived through the war. One, that's a good thing, right? Okay, now, first, it needs to be mentioned that these people were happy to be alive, right? Now, why would they be sold into slavery? Well, in some situations, you simply cannot let these people stay or come home with you and live free because they most likely will organize a rebellion. So this is a protection against the Hebrews. And you're thinking, yeah, but it's still cruel. Wait a minute. America does it. All countries around the world do this kind of stuff. When you have slaves of war, what do? Well, I don't know about your country, but in America, we throw them in prison. They end up in some prison, and they're making license plates. Okay, they got concrete walls. And, well, perhaps they have really nice TVs and libraries and a gym to work out in, but you get my point. Right? They're imprisoned. All right? And they are basically forced to make license plates or something else. They're slaves, in a sense. Am I right? Am I wrong? All right. Well, how's this different? Well, these people get taken back as slaves of war. They're brought into families. This is not a prison. This is a family. And these Hebrew families are commanded by God to love these slaves. Yes, they're slaves for life. And so are the war slaves that we enslave for war situations right now. They're slaves for life. Okay, we don't call them slaves. And they're not slaves, again, in the same sense that we're talking about typical slavery around the world. Okay, it's not the same thing, but they are enslaved in a prison. These Hebrew slaves, these foreigner slaves who get put into slavery, by the Hebrews, they're brought into the family. They're loved. They're treated well. They're educated. They are brought up in the one true faith. Okay? And guys, don't run off with that, okay? Don't misquote me. I'm not saying that to be a Jew nowadays is the one true faith. I'm just saying, biblically speaking, the Messiah had not been revealed, and everybody was looking forward to the Messiah. It's not like nowadays where they're saying Jesus is not the Messiah, okay? That's different, all right? But they were following the faith as God had prescribed it at that time. They were being taught the truth, okay? They were given a day off every week. And get this, they were allowed to get married. Now, guys, that's an act of mercy. Our modern day war criminals or war slaves, if you will, they don't get to get married. Okay. They're imprisoned. They don't get married. They don't have kids. Now, another thing to realize is these people have children. And remember back where we talked about a few days ago, I quoted that scripture in Proverbs that talked about raising a slave child delicately and that one day you would have that child as your own son or daughter. All right. These children would become one with your family. I mean, isn't that awesome? Isn't that the loving God that we serve? And that even in these bad situations, this person that's enslaved is looking at their child thinking, you know what? This child is my child, but my master, this person who has enslaved me, is loving on this child too. And there's a chance one day that child might just get set free. Okay, you see the spirit of how this works, the spirit of the law, and how there is this correction, this restitution, this bringing things back around. And turning something bad, a war, into something good. And there is instance after instance after instance in the Bible where these sojourners come into the land and eventually they're just made to be the Hebrews. They're one with the people. They worship as the Hebrews do. They act as the Hebrews do, for better or worse. And they are one with the people. But see, God had to put a law in place to protect his people from these slaves of war. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this when we talk about the instance of female slaves of war, because there's a little bit more to it, and it makes this whole subject even more round and understandable, and you see the mercy and love of our Father, and you're not looking at this through the eyes of American slavery, the disgusting and despicable ways that this country followed in our history. Okay? It's different. It is so much different. And so check this out. Here's something else about foreigner slaves. As we've discussed earlier, the foreigner slaves were also allowed to acquire their own wealth. So, I know that's a little weird. Again, this form of slavery was nothing like the slavery we imagine when we think of oppressive slavery. These guys were able to acquire their own wealth. They were, get this, they were able to run a business. What? Okay. And now I'm really going to just shake you down here. They were able to have their own slaves. All right, wait, what's going on here? See, again, slavery is more like indentured servitude. You're a servant to a master, but it's not like you're walking around with chains on you and getting whipped all the time. Okay, you're not to be abused. You are allowed to be educated. In fact, education was encouraged. You could get married. You could have kids. And there were rules surrounding that, as we've already discussed, and there's, you know, there's certain things that happen, but again, huge differences. And as you go, your children and your children's children and the children's children's children start getting assimilated into the regular society. The only difference is, if you are a foreigner, you could not own land. And okay, some of you, an eyebrow just raised up. That is okay. God had designed it that way from the very get-go. He wanted his people to own that land. And as you see, even all the way up to the present day, Satan is doing everything he can to divide up that land. And I said that. Satan is doing everything he can to divide up that land. And what's left is this teeny little sliver. What's left of Israel is this tiny little tiny chunk of land. And the whole world's fighting over that little chunk of land. That right there is in and of itself an apologetic proving, or at least suggesting, that the Bible is true. I mean, seriously, is it not? Why would it matter? Why is the world thousands of years later still fighting over this little chunk of land? Seriously, think about that. Who cares? Well, God cares, and that's why it's a big deal. God gave that land to the Israelites, and he promised it in the Old Testament, and ever since then, Satan has done everything in his power to screw that up for God. Obviously, it's not going to happen. And that land used to be a lot bigger, okay? And I'm not stepping out and trying to act like a prophet here, but I am expecting, as the days progress here, I'm expecting, as the years go on, that they are going to get that land back. And I mean all of it. Okay. It's when you look at the old maps of Israel, that's what I'm expecting to see again someday. Don't ask me how that's going to go down, but I do expect that to happen. Anyway, the Israelites were not to give their land to foreigners. So, the strangers in the land, the foreigners, they could pretty much, they were on par with the Hebrews in just about every aspect except for land ownership. It just didn't happen. And it's understandable. You might not like it. I actually don't have a problem with it at all. But it's understandable. It makes sense. If the Bible's true, it makes perfect sense. So anyway, how about we stop right there? Tomorrow, we'll talk about female slaves. Oh, what goes on with that? So that's going to be an interesting topic. A lot of people seem to think that the Bible says it's okay to rape female slaves and force them to have sex with you and use them and abuse them, kick them to the curb, leave them to just rot in the sun, and all that cheery stuff. Well, tomorrow, we're going to find out it wasn't that way. And the atheists that say it was that way, A, are not reading their Bibles, or B, are being deceptive. You guys can decide that. Anyway, with that, come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and leave comments and questions. I do want to talk to you, and so many of you have contacted me. I just talked to a blessed believer, Tommy Scott, who has an amazing testimony on the internet about he was a former gang member, and it just blew me away. So you guys can check that out on YouTube. Anyway, I do love talking to you guys. I cherish it. So with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.